You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today's Monday, June 8th. 2015, you're listening to episode 158. My name's Rob, sitting there looking kind of pensive, a little uncomfortable, almost like maybe he has an upset stomach, is Jason Slingerland.
I was just thinking about a TV show that made me laugh.
Okay.
But I can't talk about it because you haven't watched it yet, so.
So, too bad. So, no dice, no satisfaction
now
on
I know
that.
How you feel.
Yeah. Because have you finished Daredevil yet?
I've got one episode. I'm going to watch it tonight, actually.
I was complaining about this to Jason earlier this week, that I wanted to talk about Daredevil so much, and he just hadn't bothered to watch it yet. And then he finally watches Daredevil, and all I want to talk about is Mad Max. And he hasn't seen it. And I'm getting sick of you.
Sorry.
I'm getting sick of you. I'm sorry. Impatient.
The Daredevil thing is my fault. By the way, you have Amazon Prime now, right?
I do.
So the good news is anything that's not on Netflix is probably on Amazon Prime.
Not true.
Really?
Well, okay. So a lot of things that are not on Netflix are on Amazon Prime, but not free on Amazon Prime.
Really?
There's more stuff that you can watch for free. Like, for example, the newest season of Downton Abbey is not free.
But once it's not the newest season, I bet it will be.
It will be eventually. Yeah. But so in we've actually encountered that five or six times where we're like, oh, I hear this is on Prime. Yep, sure it is for $2.99 an episode. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But still, we've had Prime for a couple of weeks now. It's been good. Been happy with it so far. But you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I like Prime.
Well, hello and welcome to Building the Streaming Service.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's new? What's new with you?
Nothing.
No?
No.
Nothing at all?
Been busy with work and stuff.
Yeah, work and stuff.
Trying to make this video for my daughter's first birthday party, which already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's coming up like this weekend?
Next weekend. Yeah, okay. So I'm working on that and, yeah. And then, yeah. Then I got this gig to do a video for somebody, for a promo video for their company, so which is a cool deal. So
yeah, that's good. Make a little cash.
Yeah, a little cash on the side.
Make some fat stacks.
I don't know about that, but
some thin stacks.
I got to pay some other people to work with me on it. So
okay.
So yeah.
Well, that's hot stuff, man.
It's hot stuff. But so I've been keeping busy, keeping out of trouble, keeping myself from playing any games. You know, be careful not to play any games.
Sure. Well, hopefully, hey, so we're recording this well in advance, so I'm already home by now, but with this trip out west that we're about to take, what game should I take with me? What do you think?
Take Morels, because you always want to play that.
Yeah. What else? Anything else?
Are you going to see people?
I'm going to stay with my aunts.
Okay. Do they like games?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
So it would probably be two-player stuff.
Okay. Morels.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for your hard work and
any other two-player games you have that are fun.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
Yeah. You flying out of Grand Rapids?
No, flying out of Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah.
To?
Going to Portland. I think we have a layover in Denver, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
Yeah.
If you, what are you flying, Southwest?
Oh, I think we're on United.
Ugh.
Yeah, Southwest wasn't giving us a good deal.
Really?
Yeah, it was frustrating.
I love Southwest.
So I normally
try
do too.
To only fly that.
Me too, but I think something about the schedule didn't work out, and United ended up being cheaper. So
yeah. Every time I fly Southwest, I text Anissa, our friend, and say, "Why aren't you on this flight? It'd be sweet if you're on this flight."
Mm-hmm.
She never is,
and she never responds because it's kind of creepy that you're stalking her after all this time.
What are you talking about?
Just giving you crap.
So, yeah, we haven't seen them in a long time.
No,
so.
Been a while. A couple of years.
Yeah. So, I talked to them every once in a while via text or email and stuff. So,
right on.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, nothing's new.
No newness. No excitement. Newness,
no excitement.
Just all humdrum, boring stuff in the Slingerland household.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
falling asleep at the microphone there.
Yeah, it's because all this beer we're drinking.
Yeah, man, I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it through this. This is heavy. This is a Midwest heavy duty ale.
It is,
and it is heavy
and
duty.
And it's not called Mayhem as we said last time. It's called Malem.
Malem, M A Y L E M. From
maybe it's just really bad graphic design. Maybe it does say Mayhem, but they just did a bad job of the H.
I have to think that's a name of something, a reference to something. I don't know. I mean, it is, man, it is intense.
I'm looking over there at the Hobocon display.
Uh-huh.
And once somebody looked at that and said, is it called Lobocon? So L's and H's can get confused.
Okay. In this case, though, it's very clearly
an L.
An L.
Maybe they just can't spell.
Maybe it's not Mayhem. That could also be.
What if it's... Let's think of a justification for this so I can feel better about it. What if they were like, what are some words for havoc? And they were like, mayhem, chaos, bedlam. And they were like, hey, Malem.
Hey.
Maybe that's it.
There you go. Except
I feel better about
bedlam
that.
Bedlam is L-A-M, and this is L-E-M. It's,
I know. I understand that.
Go on. Yeah, so, okay.
Badlam.
Badlam? Badlam. Badhem.
Just so anyways.
Go on.
We were going to talk about a topic.
You know what? Hey,
we should get to it. It's going to take a while.
Here's the thing that's funny. Different subject, actually.
Okay.
You mentioned Netflix, and as I'm wont to do, sometimes I was flipping through Netflix on the television and trying to choose something to watch. And I like to look through the reality show lists on there because sometimes I just like to watch some garbage reality shows. Yeah. And I found a show on there. You may have heard of this. It's called The Quest.
Yes. I actually started watching it on ABC and I just couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah.
But it looked pretty great.
I watched the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, builders, if you don't know what this is, okay, this is a reality TV game show thing, right? So right. Survivor, you know, challenges in the show and all the people have to vote off one of their, you know, fellow combatants, you know, every contestants, thank you, every episode, and it all goes down to one person, except this has an ongoing story because it's also a LARP.
Yep.
It's
in the first episode,
yeah,
they like meet this guy and he makes him run through the woods.
Well, so the setup is that these 12 people have been summoned by the fates from the real world into the fantasy world of Everrealm.
Because that's a great name.
Right. And yeah, so then they all meet in a tunnel underground, and a guy finds them in this tunnel and beckons them forward through the tunnel to meet the fates, and they come out of this tunnel in a forest, and they all have to go, they have to run all through the night through the forest to find the castle sanctum.
Yep. But they get disguises, which interestingly look like LARP gear.
Yeah. It's fantastically bad.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
But, like, it's interesting. Like, the people are pretty committed.
They go for it.
Yeah.
They go for it. And you gotta...
It's big. Like, they're in, like, a castle thing with, like, stuff.
It's shot in Austria. I looked it up online. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In a real, like, a real castle.
Yeah. It didn't look fake.
Yeah, no, I mean,
legit.
Yeah, it's a real place. Yeah. So it's a LARP. And I mean, so there's no host. There are actors who are acting as characters in this medieval setting, in this fantasy medieval setting. And they're expecting contestants to also... I mean, that's part of the deal, right? You also have to LARP along with...
Yeah, you're not allowed to reveal your true self. You are the person you are in this game.
Right. And you have your own name. It's not like you give everybody their own special names, but you are in medieval fantasy garb. You have to speak to the people as in character. And
the games, at least that I saw, were like catapults and stuff. They were very thematic.
Yeah.
They're using catapults to try and hit targets.
And... Yeah. And like I said, I've only watched the first two episodes, so I don't know how bad it goes. But they like go so far as to like... put actors and stuntmen in makeup, like monster makeup and stuff. And it's full on.
Yeah.
It's full on for real stuff. It's I think it's real dumb, but I really also want to keep watching it.
You also really wish you were a contestant on the show?
I would not go that far. there have been times when I've been like, yeah, I would totally try out for the Amazing Race. Not Survivor, but Amazing Race. That would be hella awesome. You know?
Yeah.
But
I get lost.
You probably would.
The show I always wanted to be a part of was The Mole.
The Mole. Yeah, you've talked about that before.
Which has a trading mechanic, so...
Yeah.
It's a good time.
So, but anyway, so speaking of reality shows, we thought it'd be funny to... Because they're game shows, right?
Right.
We thought it might be...
Game shows.
So we thought it might be funny for a change tonight to talk about reality show games.
Yes.
Yeah. Game shows, reality games.
So, like... Most reality show games, there's some different categories that you always see. There's always the physical challenge.
Sure, yeah.
Like Survivor kind of laid the groundwork for this, right? Survivor was the first reality show like that of its time to really get everyone's attention.
I don't know if it was the first, but certainly the first one most of us ever heard of.
Well, that's the first one to get everyone's attention.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So Survivor always has a physical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They love puzzles. Like
they do love puzzles.
Like, if I could just not have to swim and run and could just be the guy that does the puzzles, my team would win every time as long as everyone else did the swimming and running.
Mm-hmm.
The puzzles are not that hard. Like mm-hmm. I'm watching on TV like, dude, this is not that hard. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
But
they're made difficult by they often make them really huge.
Right.
So that they're big, make them harder, unwieldy stuff you have to handle.
Go swim underwater and use a key to get this piece to bring back to put the puzzle piece in, you know?
Yeah. And, of course, you're always racing against the other contestants.
Right, right.
And so there's that stress of
They also
of
have
pressure.
Endurance challenges where you'll have to stand and hold something or stand and, like, balance on a thing for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also... gross challenges.
Yeah.
Where you have to eat a bug or eat something gross. And so, yeah, those are kind of your main... types. Am I forgetting any?
I think that's more or less it. They do some psychological. Well, see, the rest of the game though is the psychological stuff. You know, psyching out your opponent's alliances and you know, when do you form alliances, when do you break them, and so that's kind of the reality game show meta game, so to speak.
Right.
You know, so the individual challenges are just obstacles that you have to overcome and so on. But the you could argue that the bigger part of the game is friendships and
right.
all that kind of stuff.
I mean, the really, like when I think of Survivor, like the biggest part of Survivor, like to win Survivor, is manipulation. I've watched a lot of Survivor. I've watched maybe 3 or 4 seasons out of like the 20 some that they've done. And the first one I watched was season 2, and it's because my friend's uncle was on the show. And I think I mentioned that before, Mike Scoopin. And he was actually on again and got like 2nd or 3rd place on the All-Star season.
Cool.
He's a cool guy. He's like a public speaker and he's a nice dude. But anyways, in that second season, 2 people, made it to the top and they were Tina and Colby. And Colby was a strapping dude, right?
Oh, I remember. I think I watched that, that season too.
Colby was, he was Mr. Endurance. He won almost every single physical challenge.
Yeah.
Especially once they got a few.
And he was just a big, likable dude.
Yeah. He's super nice. He's a Texan. Super nice. Yeah. He was really smart. Like mm-hmm. when you could bring one item with you, he said, I want to bring a Texas flag because I'm so patriotic to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just used it for a roof for their shelter.
Yeah.
Like, it was genius.
Yeah.
And they eventually took it away from him because they lost their food and they had to trade it or something. But anyways, Tina, though, with him, Tina was the one who ended up winning. Tina lost every challenge. Mm-hmm. Tina's best friend was Colby.
Yeah.
That was her game, right? She was hooked up with him for the whole time. Like, and she was like his mom's age, right? But they became really good pals.
Yep.
And like, he was super excited for her when she won because he knew that she had outplayed him. She had outplayed every single person there because she was not good at any of the physical stuff.
Yep.
But there she was.
Yep.
So, you know, so that's one of the things I love about the game. Now, most of the games, you vote people off. One of the things I liked about The Mole was you could not vote people off. What happened was at the end of every episode, they took a test.
Mm-hmm.
That test was to try and figure out who the identity of the mole was, right?
Okay.
And they would ask you questions like, during this, where was the mole? And there'd be like 4 choices. So you could theoretically guess and get it. And the last question was always, who is the mole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd pick the answer for that. And then Anderson Cooper would come out. Because this was back in the day, Anderson Cooper hosted this originally, right? That was one of the reasons I thought it was cool. Because Anderson Cooper has been always cool and still is. Hey, cool guy.
Yeah.
So he would come out and they would all line up. And then he would tell who the lowest score was and they would get kicked out, right?
Because
the goal of the game was to figure out who the mole was. And the mole was somebody who the producers had hired to try and sabotage, right?
Yeah, right?
And they had to win some, lose some. They had to make you lose some things. The producers would say, they have to lose this challenge.
Yeah.
So the mole would have to find a way to make them lose without revealing themselves as the mole.
Yeah.
and it was such a great idea for a show because you weren't voting each other off. You were getting taken off by, you know.
And the audience did not know who the mole was?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you found out, like, it got down to three people.
Uh-huh.
And then, in the end, the mole was revealed, and you're always like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was usually pretty surprising as to who it was.
So what works about reality game shows? What lessons can we learn?
Well, one of the things that I think is interesting is you've got a very long game, right?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of short games.
That's true.
There's a bunch of mini games in there.
Yep.
But there's multiple long games going on during the long game because of the relational stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's basically taking one big game and then putting it into sections and then having player elimination. Now, they can get away with that kind of player elimination because it doesn't matter, right? I mean, sure. Like that player elimination, the person leaves the show, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it makes us sad because they were our favorite player.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. It doesn't...
The person still gets a free trip to Fiji out of it or something. Right, yeah.
And they get money for the, sure, the farther into they get, the more money they get.
Yeah.
So that's something that's interesting about it is like they can have player elimination and nobody can get upset about it because mm-hmm. they don't have to go stand around. They can go do whatever they want afterwards.
Right. So a long game and a short game. So I think that's an important distinction to make. And the long game is purely between the players, and it is not dictated by the, for lack of a better term, the game master.
Well, you know? That's what's interesting, right? Is this is a great lesson in minimal rules, maximum gameplay, right?
Because
mm-hmm. what are the rules of Survivor? Outwit, outplay, outlast, right? I mean, sure. You can't physically attack someone. I know that that's a rule. Like, if you physically attack someone, mm-hmm. they will kick you off.
Yep.
You have to stay healthy enough so they don't medevac you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I mean, if that's up to you.
Right. I mean, nothing, but I mean, there's nothing else. Like, one of the best moments in Survivor, I think, was season three or something like that.
The guy fell in the fire?
Oh, that was season 2. That was Mike Scoobin, actually, my friend's uncle who fell in the fire.
Oh, that was the guy. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
So, although it would have been interesting to see that, how that would have shaken out, because he was dominating Colby in the challenges.
He was, yeah.
So,
I remember that.
Stayed on.
Yeah, that was a terrible episode. It was really sad.
Poor dude. Yeah, poor dude. Completely healed, by the way, from that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's when he came back. But anyways, so there was this guy named, people called him Johnny Fairplay, and he like became like a low-budget wrestling star afterwards, but they get to the point in the game where your family shows up, right? One of your family. And his brother comes walking out and he sees his brother and he looks at him and he said, no, man, no. And he's like, I'm sorry. And they just started crying and they hugged and like, Johnny, what's wrong? And he said, well, my grandma was supposed to come and when she didn't show up and it was my brother, I know it's because she passed away.
Oh.
And like, so like he ends up making it to the end because like, he may have even won.
Uh-huh.
Totally made it up.
Oh,
him and his brother planned it ahead of time.
Whoa.
Genius.
Whoa.
The best was Jeff Probst, the greatest reality show host ever.
Yeah.
Knew.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that he was full of crap.
Yeah.
But he can't say anything.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And he'll purposely like, because, you know, he like, so that's another thing that's interesting. The interview section of these shows, right?
Uh-huh.
Where before Tribal Council and Survivor, I know we're using Survivor a lot, but it's because everybody knows Survivor.
It's an easy,
right?
Yeah, right.
Before the Tribal Councils, or during the Tribal Councils, before they vote, Jeff Probst will actually ask them questions,
mm-hmm.
but he sees everything because
he
sees all the
footage. So he's asking all these leading questions.
So he'll
things.
Purposely ask questions to make people fight.
Yeah.
But so anyways, I was saying minimal rules, maximum gameplay, right?
Yeah.
There are so few rules to Survivor. You don't get voted off and you get to keep playing.
Right.
That's it.
And the challenges, the individual challenges, there are rules for those.
Right.
But those are just small mini games within the big game.
Yeah. Which those have to have very strict rules.
Sure.
But it's really interesting, right, to mm-hmm. think about how few rules exist in a game like that.
And like you said with the example of Tina, you don't, you know, winning the individual challenges does not mean you will win the game.
Correct.
Yeah, right. It can help, but it may hinder in some cases.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they always say, like, in the beginning, when the tribes are separate, the physical guys and girls mm-hmm. Will rule. But as soon as those tribes merge, they're mm-hmm. the biggest targets.
Yeah.
Because... And that you don't want them because they can win then single immunity and can't be voted off.
Right.
So there's, I just feel like there's so many good lessons to take from that. And there's actually, I own the game, but haven't got a chance to play yet. In the Dice Hate Me Rabbit games, they have The Fittest.
Oh, sure.
Which is, it is basically Survivor.
Yeah.
Or it's a reality show, but I mean, it's heavily influenced by Survivor. There's no doubt in that. And I really want to try it because that struck me. Like, because when I think about a game like Survivor, I think about kind of like you're playing a game, but you're also playing the meta game the entire time as well, right? Yeah. Well, if you're good, you are.
Yeah.
If you're not, you're going to lose.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's. I don't know if we can. If we're at a point where we can make some direct comparisons and direct lessons from that, but it's certainly the kind of stuff that's worth talking about, worth thinking about. There's always opportunities to learn things from all aspects of gaming.
Frankly. Right, and I think that is the biggest lesson. Look at the game.
Look at what's work and try and what's right. working and figure out try and figure out why it's working.
Right. You know, an emerging gameplay is it's something you see a lot with the minimum rules max gameplay. Because they didn't certainly know that people were gonna like make plans ahead of time on making these huge lies to people and stuff like that. So that's something to think about, right?
Yeah.
With your game, like look at the rule. I guess this is the biggest lesson I would take away from this. Look at the rules in your game and say, what can I get rid of that would just still encourage gameplay, right? And then in addition to that, what could I get from, gosh, I lost it, but mini games, also interesting, games within your game, right? I like that. Mm-hmm. Short game and the long game. That's something that they very much influence, and that's something to think about as a designer.
Mm-hmm.
In my game, what's the short game strategy? What's the long game strategy? How do I encourage people to do both?
Mm-hmm.
Because that just increases conflict in your game in a good way.
Sure.
Anything else you can think of specifically, like from a reality show type setting where...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think those are good comments. I think we should probably just leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably enough.
If anybody else has any thoughts on that, let me know.
Yeah.
But let us know. But yeah. I feel pretty good about it. It was a fun discussion to have, you know?
I think so, yeah. And something that I think a lot of us probably just dismiss outright is, reality TV garbage. But
it's all fake. It doesn't matter. Some of it's fake, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because there are real things to it.
And we know it's all set up, and we know that those people are not true contestants chosen at random. They're people who are cast very carefully by producers, you know? And so we know that there's a lot of setup in that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, because Survivor never pretended that it was truly 100% real. Now, I mean, like, the real world pretends that it's real, and it's not.
It's not, no.
You know?
Well, I mean, they purposely will cast people to be entertaining, right? So they're like, this person, like... is like the world's biggest misogynist, and this person is the world's biggest feminist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put them on the same team.
Right.
Speaking of which, a show that's really good at that is Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
They're like guy who hates women,
uh-huh.
unless they're like making him pie, right?
Uh-huh.
Girl who hates men all the time.
Yeah.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked in the woods together.
21 days.
Yeah.
Good luck. Oh, also, the dude is like a pacifist.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't like to kill animals.
Right.
And the woman is like murder happy.
Right.
Put them together.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Or vice versa.
Right.
So, but anyways, it cracks me up like that they do that. Like the fact that no one has died on Naked and Afraid yet shocks me.
Man, that beer is intense. That beer is heavy duty. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I'm not drinking much of that beer that you gave me.
One last plug. If you're going to watch a reality show,
yeah.
I cannot... This is a documentary. Mm-hmm. I cannot plug this more. And Rob, I think you've seen this.
Okay.
The dude who decided to walk the Amazon. Did you watch that Ed something?
No.
Oh my gosh. You've got to find it on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called, but I will find it for you.
Okay.
This guy said, I'm going to walk the entire length of the Amazon. And they said, no one's ever done that before. And he's like, well, I'm going to do it anyways. And it's like a 2-year documentary.
Oh, wow.
In the Amazon.
Wow.
It's insane. It's so good. That guy also did a thing where he like lived on an island for 30 days by himself.
Wow.
Like all Robinson Crusoe style. And
cool.
So we'll have to figure out Ed something. He's English. I think he's English. But,
okay.
Speaking
of documentaries, I'm about halfway through watching the Double Fine Adventure documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Really fascinating look at what it takes to make a game. It's all on YouTube now.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's really good. But anyway.
All right. Pitch a game.
Okay, so I wanted to try and do an RPG because...
Oh, Lord. Actually, the last time you tried to do an RPG was really good, so...
Yeah, so it was...
Fractured Arms!
Yeah, it was a fun experiment before, and I thought, I wonder if there's something else that I can try and do with that. So I was toying with some ideas, and the inspiration for this, I was just brainstorming like I do in a Google Doc and thinking, you know, is there a pun that I can come up with off of just role playing game, you know? And I thought, well, what else can you do with a role as of a character? And I thought, well, what if it was RCG, role crushing game? And I kind of thought that was a funny idea where the player is inhabiting a character and their goal, rather than to achieve some power and greatness and all that stuff and save the world, what if their goal is to take this person to rock bottom, to wreck everything about this person's life?
What?
Just because I think I started thinking more about that, I thought it, obviously it would have to be kind of one shot sort of thing, so it would have more in common with what's that game? Fiasco. So it would kind of be a crazy one shot thing. It would have a little bit more in common with Fiasco, which is sort of a role playing light idea.
That's a fun game.
Yeah. But the goal is to start with somebody in some kind of a powerful position or in some interesting setup, and just all the players are trying to bring their character to the worst possible result.
Right.
You know, at all times. So, it's a game that's played in three rounds. Okay. And it does require a game master. Okay.
Okay.
So we do need a game master, and the game master there is to try, their goal is to try and kind of facilitate the experience.
Okay.
Okay. That's what game masters do.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And help their players hit rock bottom, but also kind of get in the way of that as any good game master should. So every player has 2d6, and that's what you're using to roll for your you know, trying to accomplish things or fail at things. The GM starts by setting up some kind of a scenario, a scene, a setting, something like that. Okay, mm-hmm. And that might be you are all executives at an executive board meeting, trying to present some project to the CEO, and you all have your own individual projects that you want to achieve. Okay. So just some kind of basic stuff. Maybe it's you are all adventurers sitting around, in a tavern, and you are, sharing stories of your great accomplishments in battle. Maybe it's you're all drivers in a NASCAR race, you know, and you know, you're right now you're in the pits and you're hanging out, getting ready for the first race to start. Right. So the game master sets up this scenario, and then you go through character creation, and every player has to choose a name for their character.
Okay.
And present two things about their character. Okay. And they should be pertinent to whatever the scene is, you know? So if we've got the board meeting here, you need to pick a name, and you got to say that, well, we're all trying to present these projects, so here's what my project is. This kind of thing, right? And so the game master says, you know, give me your name and tell me what this project is. Tell me what kind of car you're driving. Tell me who the sponsor of your team is, and this sort of thing. So, okay. So then after everybody identifies their characters, then the game begins with the players just sort of role-playing, acting out this scene a little bit, you know, kind of the beginning of the scene.
Okay.
Let's use this boardroom as an example. Everyone's milling around here. They're eating the food off the finger food table, you know. They're eating the Chinese food that was brought in, waiting for the CEO to come in.
Right.
Okay. And so you're just chit-chatting with each other and playing our characters. And so you let that go for a little while. And then the GM has to call it, and he said, okay, I'm going to go around the table, and you have to tell me now what is this task that you want to accomplish. What is your goal here? Okay. And the player always, they need to present a positive goal, but knowing full well that they want to fail at that goal.
Right.
Okay. So their character wants to succeed, but the player wants to fail. This is the dichotomy that they have to deal with there. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So they present to the GM what their task, what their goal is that their character wants to accomplish. The GM then will assign a target value or difficulty value to that. And the GM will say, okay, well, you need to roll your 2d6 and you need to roll that number or this number or better to succeed. And if you roll less than that number, then you fail.
Okay.
Okay. Now the player needs to judge the difficulty of this against their likelihood of failure. So the more difficult the task is, the more likely they are to fail, right?
Right.
Okay. But if their goal is to present a really, really awesome pitch to the CEO, failure is CEO goes, man, you did a real good job, but I just don't think it's right for us. But if their task is to not trip and fall out of their chair when they get up to walk to the screen, well, that's something really easy. It's not going to be hard for me to stand up. But if I fail, I'm more likely to fail spectacularly.
Okay. That's okay? Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So that does require then that the game master, realistically, I think the game leans a lot on the game master's ability to facilitate the story, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So everyone goes around the room and says, this is what the task is going to be. And the game master is going to tell them what the difficulty rating is. Okay. So then also in game setup, everybody, all the players get three chips. Call them tokens, winks, you know, cubes, whatever you want to get. Some kind of a chip. And then everyone identifies their thing. The GM can give them their difficulty rating. And then one at a time, they roll. And after they roll, before they roll, other players can choose to give them as many chips as they want. And that chip is a +1 to the roll.
Okay.
Okay. So if you
before they roll,
right? Okay. So and so it gives them a +1. So everyone else around wants to help you succeed. Okay. So you do your round. You roll successes, failures. Successes. Hey, congratulations! You did a great job, and your character is happy, but your player is sad. Okay. If you fail, then the GM tells you how badly you fail. Maybe it's no big deal, or maybe you fall out of a chair and you break a table or
set
something
the room on fire.
And you look like an idiot. Okay. So round two. So the end of round one, everyone has their success or failure. Then the GM has each round as many chips as there are players. And the GM gives all of the chips to the one player that failed most spectacularly. Okay.
Okay.
Now at the end of the game, these chips are points, and whoever has the most points wins.
Okay.
Okay. Round two starts. The GM then says, okay, well, here's the next stage in the meeting. This is the next thing, or the race is going to begin. Now the CEO is reviewing your things, and you have an opportunity to he's going to ask you some questions, and you have to answer him about this project that you're pitching, whatever. So the next round, you do a little bit of role-playing, and then you get tasks again. But this time, you need to rope somebody else into helping you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you need to present a new task, and you need to get help from one of the other players.
Okay.
So you both have to roll. And so you have to present this task, and if you fail that task, you're the one who's going to get the chips for it, right? So the other guy has to decide, is he going to help you, or what's he going to do, you know?
Right.
So you're both basically in the running here, and probably, because you're rolling four dice now instead of just two, that's going to change the odds of the roll and couldn't make the difficulty thing bigger and potential for catastrophic failure even more. Okay, do the same thing around again. You can give chips to the guy that you want to see succeed, but keep in mind that when you give them chips, they're getting points for the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another round of failures and storytelling. Third round, you are then going to propose a task that someone else has to do. For the third round.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then their success or failure reflects on you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
So then after the third round, you do all that kind of stuff. Final role playing, GM assigns final points. And then at the end of the game, whoever has the most points is technically the biggest failure.
Right.
The biggest failure, which means you win. But ultimately, it's just kind of a fun, silly storytelling, role-playing hybrid concept.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
That's kind of the basic idea. It's still a little loose. It's still kind of a, rough approximation, but I think it's kind of a fun idea.
One thing that might be fun is if people could bet on outcomes.
Oh, I kind of like that better.
So, like, instead of the GM just giving points, players bet on outcomes,
Okay. So you could have cards that, I wonder how you'd make that work. So you could have, everybody could have a success or fail, a win or lose card.
Yeah.
And you put that face down, you put a number of chips on that.
Right.
Okay. And then if you're right, you get that many more chips from the supply, from the Game Master right. supply. And if you don't get them, if you fail, then that number goes to the player.
Right.
That's better.
You could actually have success, fail, and no bet.
Oh, yeah, you could.
So you can put 10 chips out there, right?
Right.
No bet.
Yeah.
Just to
That might be people. Better. Yeah. It might be even better.
Then people don't know. That's a little more depth to the game.
Yeah, but, okay. I like that better than just adding stuff to boost their bonus.
Right.
I like that better.
In fact, it could be, I'm going to try to do this without doing that. Mm-hmm. Everyone bets. Then the GM, not knowing, he knows how many chips people put out there, but not what they actually did. Mm-hmm. He then determines, what the rating was. So they have to bet before they know what the rating is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
So there,
yeah.
Adds a little more depth to it.
And of course, Snake Eyes is always catastrophic failure of the worst kind, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I think I could see if you've got the right group of people in there that enjoy the role playing, enjoy this, because I think it's an inherently silly concept, you know, silly storytelling kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I think if you play it with a group that really gets into it, you could have some seriously ridiculous stuff happening, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's about failure.
We played Fiasco and that was a good time.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is kind of like a different type of version of that. So
yeah, it's more focused. I think it's a more focused thing because Fiasco can get pretty wild and pretty sprawling, you know, depending on the scenario. I think this is a little bit potentially more focused experience, and it's about the one thing. You have a goal in this game. Fiasco, your goal is kind of whatever you want it to be,
right?
But in this, you do have a defined goal. So it's a very very reined in role playing experience though. But I think there's still a lot of room for characterization and storytelling in that.
It could be fun.
Yeah. So
cool.
The role crushing game was kind of an inspiration for it, but I think it's a terrible name. I don't know what I would end up calling it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Soul crushing, failure of the game. I don't know.
Fail big or go home.
That's not bad.
So, no good questions out there, so.
Okay, I don't think we have any Twitter questions, so I think that's all, huh?
There were no Twitter questions?
Nope.
None?
Nope.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's it. We don't have a voicemail. We haven't got any voicemails in a while.
It's true.
Come on, builders.
You know what, though? We missed a couple that we never played, I think, so maybe some people got like upset about that. So if you're a builder and you're upset about that, just call us back. It's fine. We can
770-TEL-BTG.
Yeah, sorry about that. We had some emails got shuffled around, and we had some weeks where we missed, and by the time we could have played them, it was too late, and then I realized we had answered the questions for the people that asked the questions without playing the voicemail, because I remember the question without the voicemail, so it was a debacle.
That's mismanagement.
So guys, sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
But hey, we've been putting out more bonus episodes this year, which was the other thing we said we'd do.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's it then. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland. I'm @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, which has been going great. We have a ton of 5-star reviews. Thank you so much.
Let's get more, though.
That's super awesome. And like I said, call our Google Voice number, 770-TEL-BTG. Also, if you don't want to call and you want to just email us a recording from your home computer, you can do that, too. We'll play it on the show. And buy our games, buildinggamepodcast.com. You can buy a Waterbloom washout and find links to the Rumplebum Academy for bug-based baking. And finish it, the Outrageous Storytelling Party game. I think maybe I'll take that with me on my vacation.
That's a fun one.
That might be fun.
Everybody loves finishing.
Yeah. I'll probably bring that in Las Vegas, come to think of it.
Las Vegas!
Because that's an easy one for non-gamers.
Yeah, you just got to take it out of that terrible box and put it in a small box.
Oh, I've already done that, yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at my Las Vegas box, which takes up half my room.
Here. Actually, put it in my Rocket Wreckers box. It, like, squashed down to something that small.
Nice.
That's great, yeah. And that's enough. So thanks everybody again. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Sometimes that we're the best.
Yes, this is going to be the best
episode ever.
Best episode, the best topic.
5 minutes ago, no idea. Suddenly, boom. I don't even know what made me think of it.
I don't know, but
I know. I'm just so that we document it. This is what made me think of it.
Yeah.
I looked over and I saw I have this turtle statue that I got from my grandma like a long, long time ago.
Turtle
statue. See, it's behind. See the camera there. It's behind you. You can see his little head poking out. Yeah, yeah. It's just this antique thing. My grandma had it at her house, and it was just something that like when she passed, and they said, "Is there anything you want?" I said, "I want the turtle."
Sure, sure.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just meant something to me.
Just a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so I saw the turtle and I thought, what about animals in games? What about live animals in games? And I was like, that's terrible. I was like, what about people playing live action games? And I was like, what about reality television? And that's how that happened.
Though, I would like a game that you can only play with kittens, where you have to stack things and get them up to a certain height before the kitten can knock them down.
Oh, I thought you meant stacking kittens. No, that'd be hard, man. They're quick.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't think they stay put either for stacking. But I'm just saying, you know, you have a thing that's like, you know, 2 feet square with walls that are maybe 8 inches high, just enough so the kitten is discouraged from climbing out. And you have little foam blocks, and you have a card which gives you a shape or a thing that you're supposed to build out of those foam blocks, and then you let a kitten loose, and everyone has to try and build their own thing, and they want to be the first one to complete the thing before the kitten knocks it down.
Kitten in a China shop.
Yeah, I am telling you, man, that is genius.
Someday you should pitch that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you just did.
I think that is a beautiful idea. The only thing is that we can't provide a kitten.
Right.
You know, you'd have to provide your own kitten.
Okay, bring your own kitten.
There you go. That is a genius freaking idea.
In fact, that could be the name of the game.
BYOK. Bring your own kitten.
That's the best game ever.
I love this idea. This is going on Kickstarter. This has to.